I was at the, this is going to be as surprising as the Starbucks Cup, but I was at the Louisville City football game last night, the Louisville City soccer match down at the Slugger Field, and happened to be with Mike and a friend of Mike's. We were seated there together, and it was perfect. It was a beautiful night, just perfect weather. About mid-70s, and just very comfortable and pleasant. It was just an ideal time to be out and enjoying a beautiful evening ride along the river, right up until it wasn't. So there comes this moment where it begins to sprinkle just a little bit. So we're all like phone meteorologists now. So we looked at the phones earlier, and the phones are like, well, it's going to rain in this hour, but then there's going to be an hour where it looks like there's no rain. There's not a picture of rain here, so it's not going to be rain. Well, whoever's in charge didn't get the memo about the hour where the rain wasn't supposed to be anymore, and it just kept increasing and increasing and growing in intensity. So right when it first started, there was a group of people who immediately fleed for the cover. You know, their phones must have told them something different. They knew it wasn't going to get better. So you could see people walking and going back, but we hung in where we were. And interestingly, there was this group over to the left of us, about the row in front of us. I didn't even see them do it, but I noticed that after some of the folks had left, I looked over, and the four of them were all sitting there in purple, perfect. I mean, just matching rain ponchos, purple rain ponchos, draped over them and over their chairs. It looked like a religious sect had taken a residence over there. I never even saw them put the things on. It was like they must have snapped their fingers, and boom, they're covered over. But somebody there, somebody in that group did some planning, some preparation for the evening. Mike, being a good Samaritan that he is, sprung for Louisville City rain ponchos. And so we were all covered over then, and it was much better. It was very nice once we had the rain ponchos on, and the rain, rather than settling on us, ran off. And we were able to get through and keep supporting through the second half. The rain ponchos were in the stadium the entire time. Like, it wasn't like they weren't there before when it was nice. They were there. We just didn't need them then. So we had no use of them at all until we did have a use for them. And when you do have that moment where suddenly you have a use for them, you really want them, and all of a sudden you really appreciate something that you hadn't even thought 10 minutes earlier was a thing that wouldn't have been on your list of things you wanted. Rockets to the top. And you're really, really blessed and glad to see the rain ponchos show up. Our lives did not need a rain poncho until the moment came when they did. Here is the takeaway for this morning. Here is the bottom line. This is the thing that you want it in one sentence. God is not a rain poncho. God is not a rain poncho. When things are going well in life, when there aren't that many bumps, and I don't mean when things are going perfectly, because nothing ever goes perfectly, but when things are going fairly smoothly, it is possible in those times to convince ourselves that I really don't need to bother God with what's going on in my life right now. I'm sure there's other people that have more urgent things going on, and things are pretty much okay, and so I can pass by on that time of conversation with God. I don't need to pursue a relationship with God right now. I mean, I'm okay with God, and God's okay with me, and we'll talk, but we don't really need to right at this particular moment. All is well. Then, 10 minutes later, the skies, the storms of our life, it all opens up, and we're caught out in it. And that becomes the time where I really want that relationship with God. And I really would like it now, and I would like it to be full and complete. And that voice rises up from within us. God, help, it's raining. I think that God hears all prayers. So this is not an attempt to say that if you haven't prayed, don't bother now because you didn't pray before. No. I think God hears all prayers. So in whatever mode and however often they're praying, I believe that when we go to God, God is ready to hear us pray anytime. But the other part of this is, if we go searching for God only when we're missing God because there's something disastrous going on that we need God's help with, if we only go searching for God then, it is likely that it is only then that we will find God. We want to go searching for God all the time because God, as our scripture this morning is going to show to us, is not randomly with us. God is always around us. God is always along with us. So we can experience God in those moments of great need, but you can also experience God in moments where you're feeling especially blessed or where things feel especially normal. Wherever it is you happen to be, there's that possibility of experiencing God because God is always there. We finish up going through Luke's gospel this morning. So we have gone through the entirety of Luke's gospel, and actually, Luke of the four gospels is the one that decided this is so good it needs a sequel. None of the others came back with a part two, but Luke has a sequel, which we read from the beginning of, the book of Acts. So Luke tells us the story of Jesus and Jesus' ministry, life, death, resurrection in the gospel of Luke. And then Luke goes on and tells us what happened afterwards. Where did they go? What did they do? In the book of Acts, in the story of the early church. Pentecost Sunday remembers a very specific moment in the life of the church. You can point to Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, and say that's when it was. That's the day. So it's a particular moment, a particular location in time. And we know about it because of Luke. Luke's the one who tells us that story about the day of Pentecost. In Acts 1, I want you to notice something. So the story of Pentecost is in the second chapter of Acts. We read from the second chapter of Acts. But I want you to notice a feature of the first chapter of Acts. In the first chapter of Acts, you have a brief description of the ascension of Christ. Then you've got a description of the time that the disciples are spending together in anticipation of they know not what. And then at the end of the chapter, there is where they recognize that there's only 11 of them and they want to fill out their number to 12, to have 12 who are designated as their leaders. So all that happens. But in the midst of that, we are told in Acts 1 that they were all united in their devotion to prayer. They were all united in their devotion to prayer. Then when they replace Judas, the way they do it is an interesting method. They cast lots. But before they cast lots, before they do the act of casting the lots, do you know what they do beforehand? Pray. They pray. They pray. So Luke, again, writing the book of Acts, makes sure that we recognize that they were all devoted to prayer, and then in describing one thing that they do, make sure and mentions that prayer is a part of that. Pentecost may have surprised the disciples. I think the events of Pentecost were a surprise to them. I think God does things that if you ask God to do something, if you're in constant conversation with God, it does not mean that you're going to understand or be able to anticipate everything that God does, because God does things that we can't possibly anticipate. That's just the nature of God and the nature of us. There's limitations on the things that we can expect. We aren't God. God is God. So God's framework is larger than us. So God is going to surprise us. So I don't think that the disciples are surprised by what you could call the crazy things going on the day of Pentecost. But I don't think they are a bit surprised that God listens to them. I don't think there is any surprise in that group of disciples that God listens to them when they pray. They have been watching Jesus. And Luke has made sure we have seen what they have watched. You'll recall that all through Luke's gospel, he kept showing us Jesus praying. And as we watched it happening, the disciples were watching it happening. And so we know that this took. They understood and they got it. And they knew that whatever else we do, we need to be praying. And we know because it tells us right there in the first chapter, they were embracing the practice of prayer. They've learned the lesson that God is always with them and always around them. And they have learned. They have learned that God is not a rain poncho. They've internalized that. They have learned that God is not an insurance policy. Not something like, in case I get into trouble, I can always pull God out. And God will be that insurance policy that bails me out. They know that's not God's intention for what our relationship is going to be like. What they've learned from Jesus is that God is a traveling companion. Jesus was literally their traveling companion. They went around with him, most of them for 3 years. They've spent all that time learning what it is to travel with Jesus. Then, right at the end of the book of Luke, the other passage we read this morning, the first passage we read, there were two disciples who learned it again. They learned one more time that to be in relationship with Jesus is to travel with him, is to be on the road with him, is to journey with him. So these two disciples were leaving Jerusalem, probably returning to wherever their homes were. One's named Cleopas, and we don't know the other one. But they're leaving Jerusalem, and they are sad. They're sad because even though it's the day of resurrection, no one understands what that means. And so their hopes have literally been dashed. And they were really counting on Jesus to be the one. And they meet this person. And they don't even recognize who it is that's showed up in their midst. And they say to him, how is you don't know that what's gone on? Because everybody knows what's happened, this horrible thing that's happened. And Jesus says, no, tell me about it. That's funny. That's funny. You have to stop and think about this moment where they're telling Jesus that he doesn't know the thing that's just happened. Oh, by the way, I lived through all that, but he waits. He doesn't let them come to that with them. He waits. And he says, and so he lets them talk. He lets them get it all out, or hopes, or dash. We don't know what we're going to do. And Jesus says, let me explain some things to you. And so then we have this wonderful Bible lesson that takes place that Luke doesn't bother to report to us, which will be great to hear, but it talks about Jesus unpacking scriptures for them, explaining to them. But that's not when they recognize who he is. That is not when they recognize who he is. After the long conversation, he starts to go on. They're going to stop for the night, and they're like, stay with us. They really enjoyed the conversation. And so he comes in, and they're having dinner. And do you know the precise moment when they recognized him? He broke the bread. It says he broke the bread, and in that moment their eyes were opened and they recognized him. That should sound familiar. Just about every time we have communion, as part of the words of institution, as part of the invitation to the table, we say Jesus was with two of his friends, and in that moment he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. These are those friends. This is that moment. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him when he broke bread. Bread. See what's going on here? See what's happening? Bread. Prayer. Have we not heard quite a bit about bread and prayer? Luke has kept coming back to bread, talking about bread all the way through his gospel. He kept talking about prayer all the way through. And now here we are again with more bread and more prayer. Luke is an artist. Luke is a literary artist. And what he's doing is he is painting a picture that builds our understanding of who Jesus is. And he's helping us to know that like bread, God is basic to life. Like bread's a fundamental staple of what are most people's diet. And he's saying God is like that. God's the basic piece to life. And he's also saying that bread, through Christ, is always available. It's never not there. It's always available. And he's helping us to know that prayer, which he keeps emphasizing again and again and again, prayer is a fundamental way in which we achieve access to that bread. We pray and we build that relationship with God, and we become aware that the God we talk to is never not there. But the God who we talk to is always there and is always available, and the bread is always available to us. Pentecost. Pentecost is a really exciting story. Lots of crazy things happen in the Pentecost story. And it's a fun story to talk with the kids. I was talking with Braden and Jude in Sunday school, and they were asking, what's Pentecost? And so I said, well, they were all in this room. And it was a closed room like the one we were in. And so there's no windows, no doors, and all of a sudden the wind's rushing around like crazy. That'd be weird, right? Like if we're in here and all of a sudden, even with the fans going, all of a sudden people's hats are blowing off if you have hats on. But if things are moving around, the lights are going out because there's wind everywhere. That'd be weird. And then imagine that it's not just us, but there's like people from all kinds of different places, and they're all in the room. And about half of them, you've never spoken the language that they speak. And they start speaking their language, and you understand what they're saying. Like, there's not subtitles appearing. You just get it. You know what they're saying. And you're like, whoa, I've never spoken that language before, but I know exactly what they're saying. And the wind, this is crazy. And then you look around and like, oh, by the way, there's fire on your head. I mean, it's a wild story. It is crazy. So it's this stunning moment. It is the moment we point to and say, that's where the church was born. This is what it came from. This moment where these people were changed in this really dramatic and crazy and stunning moment. And the church comes forth from there. The Holy Spirit blowing through this room and breathing life into these weary and doubtful disciples and transforming them into this army that goes forth and basically conquers the world with the gospel. That said, it is important to not misunderstand that the Holy Spirit is not a one-time special effects show. This is not like stay after the baseball game because the fireworks are going to be crazy. That's not what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is not a pyrotechnic show that you experience once and go, wow, that was awesome. The Holy Spirit manifests in that way on that one particular day. But the Holy Spirit can manifest in many ways. And the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is a constant companion, always with us. The Holy Spirit is as near as your next breath. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. And there is the Holy Spirit. There is an old plot device, and it's got a fancy name, but it basically, the name is Deus Ex Machina. It means God in the machine. But basically, it describes a lot of old TV shows and movies, and probably current TV shows and movies. But what they do is they get the plot to a place where it can't possibly work. Like, nothing can solve this. There's no way that they're going to get themselves out of the mess that they're in. But then they introduce something that was never a part of anything before, but all of a sudden they explain away everything with one brilliant move that clears up all the problems, and now everything is fine. The God in the machine is brought out, and it just solves and wipes away all the problems. We can... I'm not advising it, but we can treat our relationship with God that way. We can treat our relationship with God like, I will wait until I have turned this plot so inside out that there's nothing left that I can do with it, and then I will pray that God will come out and do some miracle to turn everything around. But along with me, somebody with more weight, I think, comes along. Luke, our friend Luke. He comes along and encourages us to do something different. What Luke asks us to do is rather than to wait till we're all twisted up into a pretzel and there's nothing left to do but call on God, what Luke says is to do this, to pray. To pray. Just to pray. Like, there is not going to be a next magic part. To pray. To have conversations with God, regular, ongoing conversations with God. To walk with Jesus, to journey with Jesus. Don't picture Jesus like being somewhere off in the distance and my whole life's goal is to get to him. Picture Jesus as being beside you as being with you, as walking with you. So when things are good, Jesus is walking with you. When things are really hard, Jesus is walking with you. Jesus is with you on the journey. And then Luke invites us to invite God's Holy Spirit to be our constant companion and to help us to be open to the presence of that constant companion and also to the work of that constant companion. Now, again, just a word of caution. This is God we're talking about, and this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about. So when we say things like, come Holy Spirit and work within me and lead me in your paths, we have to really think about what we're asking. Because again, it's asking us to, the Holy Spirit, God's ideas, God's will, to come and replace mine. And where they're at odds with each other, saying, I want yours, not mine. Now, those are wonderful things. They make great hymn lyrics. But sometimes it's really disruptive to our lives. So I just have to offer that as a word of caution. But it's also a word of blessing. It's a word of saying that in that invitation, there's all sorts of excitement available to us. So finally, may God's Spirit blow through our lives this day and every day and allow us to be open to whatever wonderful insights, whatever crazy mayhem, whatever it is the Lord of life has in store for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.